Welcome to the Nonfiction Writers Podcasting in a great way from all three sides of the ball. I'm Ryan Aber, joined as always by Joe Masato. Joe, how you doing today?
I'm excited for this week. It's a crazy week, but it's going to be a fun one, I think.
Yeah, I can't remember. Have you covered an OU-Texas game before?
I have, but nothing to the extent that hopefully we're going to cover this one this weekend.
Yeah, it's always an interesting week on the OU beat when Texas comes to Dallas. OU makes that drive down there. Let's start off, though, since we didn't get to have a post-game podcast after the Baylor game, Joe, recapping that game just a little bit before we jump into OU-Texas. What was maybe the one thing that really stood out to you about Saturday's 66-33 Sooners win?
Well, I guess one thing that stood out is I still don't think OU saw from their defense what they wanted to, but what stands out is that this offense really hasn't slowed down from what it was doing last year, and that, you know, even if they allow 33 points against a team like Baylor, they can score 66. And I think the high-powered offense stuck out. I thought, you know, obviously Kyler Murray, another Big 12 Player of the Week award, best passer rating in decades, basically. And he's just vaulting himself up that Heisman list. So I guess, you know, it's nothing new, but the offense showed what it can do yet again.
Yeah, you know, if I'm going with just one thing that stood out to me, I'd probably say the emergence of Kennedy Brooks.
Yeah.
At running back, this is a running back group who needs another guy there. We've seen Trey Sermon be able to do it, but with Marcellus Sutton's ankle still giving him some problems, they need another guy in Rodney Anderson's absence to step up. And I thought Kennedy Brooks probably had the best performance of a running back not named Rodney Anderson to this point this year. Just a fantastic afternoon for him.
Yeah, it was really impressive, and they needed it just because I think, you know, ever since Rodney Anderson has gone down, I don't think we've gotten a clear picture yet of how that running back rotation is really going to look. I mean, I thought Pledger might be the guy to emerge behind, you know, Trey Sermon. But it looks like it might be Kennedy Brooks, and Marcellus Sutton was held out, so we'll see how he, if he's available this week. But a lot of moving parts behind Trey Sermon.
Yeah, I think the thing that stuck with me about Kennedy Brooks is he's a little bit more of a versatile running back than some of those other guys behind Trey Sermon, and he's able to do a little bit more. You can ask him to do some different things than maybe each one of those other guys.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he adds something different back there, and it was kind of a surprise. I think we were all a little surprised when Kennedy Brooks was inserted, but definitely kind of adds another level of intrigue, and a guy that, for Texas, not much tape on him, so a lot of options back there.
Yeah, and I'm pausing to look over my shoulder as some of Norman's finest.
Let's get some action.
Norman Fire Department exits the press box elevator and does it pretty slowly, so it doesn't look like they're running for anything. We're recording this podcast on Tuesday afternoon, and there's a fire truck, and did you say there was something else out
there?
Yeah,
a couple of police cars out there, so was told that the fire alarm in the press box was going off, so we'll see if it's still up there, I guess, when we return.
Yeah, it looks like, it doesn't look like they're moving with much sense of purpose, and the fire truck is actually pulling away here, so that looks like a positive sign for the health of Gaylord family, Oklahoma Memorial Stadium. Joe, I wanted to touch on something, though, that you brought up, the defense, and it's been a big topic of conversation this year. Mike Stoops has been a big topic of conversation amongst OU fans. To me, there should be concern about Oklahoma's defense. I don't think there's any doubt about that. There are things that we saw on Saturday, there are things that we saw 2 weeks earlier against Iowa State that are concerning. But I don't think the sky is falling quite the way not insignificant portion of OU's fan base acts like it is.
I agree with you. Like, I knew the perception, you know, of OU's defense coming out of this beat, and, you know, a lot of people aren't fans of Mike Stoops, and it hasn't been great, but there definitely seems to be some overreaction. And I think if you're going to look for a positive, it's not been one really common theme with OU's defense that has really been a detriment to them. I think, you know, at Iowa State it was tackling. Against Army it was, you know, kind of being manhandled a little bit at the line of scrimmage. Against Baylor it was some pass coverage mistakes. Which maybe some people would say, well, there's a lot of areas of concern, but not one thing is really sticking out. And, you know, the season is 5 games old, but it does seem like they have some playmakers on that side of the ball. And I'm with you. I don't think necessarily that the sky is falling, but at the same time, stuff to clean up.
Yeah, I think their defensive line is better than it's been in a couple of years, at least across the board. I thought that the job that they did getting pressure on Charlie Brewer, even without Kenneth Mann,
yeah,
who's been one of their best pass rushers, was really good. Those are positive signs. They got Marquise Overton and Tyrese Lott back.
Yeah.
Those were good things, especially those guys played a lot on Saturday as they shifted things up a little bit up front. The linebackers, we've talked about those guys all year, but you know, Kenneth Murray and Curtis Bolton have probably been, well, I don't think there's any probably to it. They have been their two best defensive players to this point. We saw that again on Saturday. There are some concerns on the back end, but Trey Brown, I thought, was fantastic when he got a chance to play. Would be nice for him to be able to pull down some of those balls that he batted down. Had a couple, could have got some interceptions, could have helped out Joe's wild prediction,
right,
but didn't quite help him come through.
Yeah, I my wild prediction was 3 interceptions, and they had zero interception, so really close on that one. But this is another week. I'll give it a try. But I'm with you. I thought Trey Brown was the most impressive in the secondary, especially playing the ball in the air. He never seemed to get lost, and he always seemed to get a hand on it. But the front seven has been especially impressive considering the unit as a whole. I think, you know, even without guys like Kenneth Mann and Ryan Jones on Saturday, you had a guy like Ronnie Perkins who, I'm not going to say stepped up because he's been pretty good all season long, but he was
yeah,
really good, I thought, on Saturday. And then, you know, we looked at the numbers this morning. We were talking about Oklahoma State's pass rush. They lead the nation in sacks. OU's in the top 20 in that category. So, I mean, they are putting pressure on the quarterback, which is something you have to do in this league.
Yeah, and it's something, you know, we talked about it all through preseason. Well, I guess you didn't talk about it all through preseason. But the ability for OU to get pass rush from a place other than just one spot like they have the past few years. I mean, you've been around for, you know, the Eric Stryker era.
Yeah.
Since then it's been Obo Okoronkwo. But now it's coming from some different places, and I think that helps Oklahoma's defense be much, much less predictable than they were even a year ago.
Yeah, and I think they're getting pressure even when they're not necessarily blitzing or rushing per se. I mean, I think that defensive line has done a pretty good job, and you mentioned it a little bit ago, but with as much as Tyrese Lott and Marquise Overton played, kind of makes you know, scratch your head a little bit and say, well, they were doing okay when those guys were out because you saw how much of an impact they had when they played Saturday. And it's not like any guys were shoved to the side now that they're back. It's just that rotation's a lot deeper than it was for all but the first game of the season that those guys missed.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But, Joe, let's pivot a little bit toward this week. OU Texas, an interesting turn of events yesterday on Monday as we're waiting for Lincoln Riley's weekly press conference. Lincoln Riley does his turn on the Big 12 teleconference. Everything goes all right there. I think he sounds maybe a little lethargic, but he's okay. Things got weird on that teleconference after that with some of the Mike Gundy stuff. You can check out newsok.com if you want to read about that. But all of a sudden, right before Lincoln Riley's supposed to come up, we're told, no Lincoln Riley. There's going to be a pinch hitter today, and Cale Gundy took his place.
Yeah, that was a surprise, especially with this week being OU Texas. But I just read Barry Trammell's column on this, and he's got something up on newsok.com that's really interesting how if there was going to be a replacement for Lincoln Riley this week, Cale Gundy makes sense. He's appeared as a player or a coach in 24 of the last 29 games, I think it is. So, but definitely, from our perspective, kind of a curveball as far as this is the week where there's probably more questions than any other week. So,
yeah, no doubt about it. I thought it was weird yesterday it didn't seem like there were quite the, was quite the buzz, or there was quite the amount of media there at the luncheon as there normally is for OU Texas Week.
Yeah, it was strange to me just comparing it to previous games this year. There seemed to be fewer media members there than a normal game. Maybe everyone except us got the heads up on the Lincoln Riley surprise absence, but I don't think that's the case. So I don't really know how to assess that.
But I thought some of what Cale Gunny said was interesting. He talked about his experience with the game. Like you mentioned, he's been involved in 24 of the last 29 of these. You know, he's sort of one of the pieces of the fabric of this game as long as he's been around. And he also had some interesting things to say about the offense, which he's a big part of, the receivers, and some of the running backs. We talked about Kennedy Brooks and things. But it's I thought the other really interesting thing that came out yesterday was just the time with Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Probably – I don't want to say the most relaxed he's been, but it seemed like certainly the most open and talkative that he's been with us in that kind of setting.
Yeah, certainly the most open that I've seen him. I mean, you covered a lot of it in our journal, but he just touched on so many topics that were really like, I haven't heard him say that before. I mean, he talked about, you know, everyone wants to know, you know, being a Texas kid, what side of this rivalry did he grow up on? And you know, he basically said he grew up a Florida fan, so wasn't even really interested in it. But he got into, you know, how Texas recruited him, how OU recruited him, and OU wasn't even really close to getting him originally. So, I mean, just a lot of topics that were really interesting in the lead up to this game.
And this topic didn't come up with Kyler yesterday, but I want to talk about it. Our buddy Jason Kersey from The Athletic sort of dove into Kyler Murray's high school recruitment. He was committed to Texas A&M for a long time. His father starred at Texas A&M as a quarterback. But late in his recruitment, not too long before signing day, he took a trip with DeMarcus Lodge to Austin and tweeted out a picture of a Longhorns football jersey and pretty much set the internet aflame.
Yeah, that was – I hadn't really, you know, read something that in-depth on that story, but it was interesting. Basically, how Jason summed it up, it was, and Max Olson of The Athletic, it was a masterful troll job. You know, they kind of indicated that they didn't just go to Texas to waste their time. Like, they thought, hey, if we're actually going to consider Texas, this is our last chance to. But coming away from the visit, they didn't have any indication on going to Texas, but they thought, hey, I bet we can really get some people talking by tweeting out a pair of Texas jerseys.
Yeah, and I don't know if you were following Kyler Murray during this time, but it blew up big when he tweeted that. Texas A&M fans freaking out. Texas fans
I love the battle between the message boards, Texas and Texas A&M.
That was perhaps the craziest thing about it. Was it Billy Lucci and Jeff Ketchum? Going back and forth, and it was just – there's no college football drama quite like college football recruiting drama, and that might have been the biggest soap opera in college football in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, you've got, you know, rival Texas schools with maybe one of the most legendary high school players ever to play in Texas.
I don't think there's any maybe to that. Yeah. I mean, he is one of –
right,
those guys.
Yeah, so I mean, when you pair those two together, it is no surprise how that blew up. And then a crazy turn of events later, here Kyler Murray is in a Sooner uniform getting ready to play the Longhorns in probably a game that no one could have predicted years ago when Murray was going through his recruitment.
You know, and I think about it also, something I didn't touch on in the journal in Monday's or Tuesday's Oklahoman, and I'm sitting here looking at the pillar of Josh Heupel and the fantastic sort of celebrating the fantastic career he had here. But Kyler Murray also had some words about Josh Heupel yesterday that I don't know that surprised a lot of people, but maybe surprised people that he said them.
Yeah, I just picture Josh Heupel, you know, going about his normal day, and then Kyler Murray just drops the hammer on him, basically. I mean, it was a little unexpected. He basically just said that, I mean, maybe not unexpected, but I don't think he had said it before that just he and Heupel didn't have a great relationship, and certainly not the relationship that Kyler would later develop with Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, and Lincoln was at OU late in Kyler's recruiting process, but it was one of those too late things.
Yeah.
Lincoln developed a little bit of a relationship with him, but it wasn't enough to sway him away from Texas A&M. Obviously, it worked out great for both sides. The way things have played out.
Josh Heupel's doing pretty well for himself right now.
Yeah, Josh Heupel's doing all right for himself. I think, can't remember what UCF is in the poll, but I know I voted them, I think, 13th this week. I think they're right around there.
Where they're at, yeah.
So they're doing all right with themselves. Lincoln Riley obviously wound up getting Kyler Murray on his second go-around, and Kyler Murray has just been absolutely fantastic for the Sooners. But, Joe, when we talk about Saturday's game, obviously Kyler Murray's going to play a big part of it, but those running backs that we mentioned, Trey Sermon, Kennedy Brooks, TJ Pledger, Marcellus Sutton, if he's available, those guys are going to play a big part in this game as well. Texas' rush defense has been fantastic to this point. It's been the season opener a year ago against Maryland since they gave up 200 yards rushing. USC, I think, rushed for minus 5 yards earlier this year against the Longhorns. So as good as Oklahoma's wide receivers are, and they're really good, they're going to have to get some production on the ground.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think you could even make an argument. You're touching on the Texas's run defense. I think with some of the guys they have in that secondary, they might have the best secondary that OU is going to face in the regular season. I mean, it's a really complete defense, and you're right. With as many weapons as they have, Kyler Murray and the guys that he's got lining up on the outside, it's going to be about the offensive line and those running backs kind of maintaining that offense. Because it's not going to be easy, and they can't just rely on one or two guys against the Texas defense.
Yeah, they have to do it. That offensive line is going to have to be really good. We'll see if Ben Powers is available at guard. That's going to be interesting to watch because Jonathan Alvarez had to play there last week with Ben Powers on the shelf. I thought Alvarez did pretty good, and it sort of goes to some of the talk early in the season and as we're writing about the Creed Humphrey-Jonathan Alvarez battle, that if Jonathan Alvarez lost that job, and he did ultimately, even if it was a couple games into the season, he was going to be a really, really valuable piece for this line because of his versatility, his ability to play both guard spots and that center really came in handy for Oklahoma against Baylor and figures to be something that could be big moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's what you get from a guy that's a fifth-year senior. Even though Lincoln Riley did say, you know, most of his reps were at center, he can play kind of anywhere on that interior of the offensive line, and I think they'd feel comfortable with him at either of the guard spots. But one thing that sort of stood out to me that Riley said after the Baylor game is that, you know, he didn't really realize it until the coin toss, but OU is without three of its five captains, Rodney Anderson, Ben Powers, and Kenneth Mann from before the season started. So still, you know, we know Anderson's not going to be available for the rest of the season, but Mann and Powers, Riley indicated they weren't really close to playing against Baylor, but we'll see what that means for OU Texas.
Yeah, so Austin Seibert and Kenneth Murray are sort of the last two standing for the Sooners when you talk about captains, for sure. Joe, what else are you looking forward to about the game on Saturday in the Cotton Bowl, about whether it's a matchup or something that you really want to see in that one?
I mean, just big picture-wise, I think there's so much – I feel like you can feel the excitement with this week because, you know, we run the Texas is back or isn't back conversation to the ground, but it's cool to have this game, which is one of the best on the college football calendar, to be a marquee matchup, to have game day there, to have conference implications, national implications. I mean, I just think that's it's a good game no matter, you know, where the teams are at, but when you've got both teams feeling good about themselves, I think it makes for even more of an intriguing game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's going to be a fun one. I'm really looking forward to seeing how OU's defense is able to react to Texas' offense, if they're able to get after Sam Ehlinger and really put some pressure on him and continue to do some of the things that they've done to this point in the season.
Yeah, that's a good point. Ehlinger, I mean, he's a really improved quarterback, it seems, in their, you know, winning streak here since that opening loss to Maryland, and he's a guy that can do in a very different way than Kyler Murray, but he's a guy that can do a little bit with his arm and his legs.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Sorry, some of the Oklahoma sports information staff distracting me a little bit, especially the Brewers fan among the group. So hopefully,
big game tonight.
Cubs fan, I'm hoping we'll see the Brewers again very soon after yesterday.
Big sports week.
It is a big sports week. There's a lot of interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Going on. I would likely like, as he walks back over here, to publicly congratulate the Milwaukee Brewers on their National League Central title. Hopefully things will be a little bit different in the near future. Okay, I think Ben has made his departure.
Oh.
But all right, Joe. Well first of all, let's stick with something game related. Have you come up with your wild prediction for this weekend yet?
Or am I doing the wild prediction?
I don't think we've even talked about that.
I've been so bad at these wild predictions. Usually something I come up with on a later in the week, but I don't have anything right now. Is anything standing out to you? Anything wild so far?
Well, the easy one is always big time special teams play one way or another. I mean, that tends to happen in this game. But this is a really hard game to put a wild prediction on, just because this game winds up being so wild so many times.
Everything's wild.
That you got a decent chance of hitting, but you got a decent chance of whatever happens crazy to be completely out of left field. So we'll see. We'll save those for later in the week. Now, what we will go ahead and knock out now, Joe, is, are you a fair food guy? And if so, what do you most want to try at the Texas State Fair? And I haven't looked at like the new stuff this year.
I haven't looked at the new stuff. I'm all about trying fried sweets of any kind. I'm big on that. But at the Texas State Fair, a lot of people's staple and my staple is a Fletcher's corn dog. So that is one thing I will undoubtedly.
Whoa, you called it
having.
A corn dog. Is that like some kind of I don't think that's allowed.
Why? Well, I didn't know this.
Fletcher's corny dog.
Corny dog. Okay. I shortened it to the normal corn dog, but I will be having a Fletcher's corny dog.
Yeah, everybody's got to have one of those. That's the Texas State Fair staple. I tried fried butter.
What was that?
Was it
like
2 years ago? It basically tastes like a roll that's with about three times as much butter on it as you would normally have, which is to say it tastes fantastic.
But like the base is little, bread or?
It's doughy.
Doughy, okay.
Yeah. It's an interesting sensation.
I'm looking forward to trying weird stuff. Like when at the fair, you've got to try weird stuff.
Yeah, you've definitely got to give that a go. So we'll try that. You mentioned fried sweets. Are you a fried Oreos guy?
Yeah, maybe Oreos. I think there's like fried Snickers. I've never tried that. Fried Twinkie. I mean, load me up with the fried sweets, and I'll try to pick out which one's best.
Yeah, I'm all about the – I like the fried Snickers, the fried Reese's.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Fried Oreos.
I don't even know how they do it. Like, how does one fry a candy bar?
Really hot and really quickly, I think. But it works.
Yeah.
Whatever they do to it, it works. So we'll see. I wasn't able to make the State Fair of Oklahoma this year, so I didn't get to try any fair food up here. But hopefully after the game, maybe.
Yeah, we got to try it out.
We can make our way through the Midway, find some good food.
The game is just the lead up to the food, pretty much.
Exactly. And the great thing about being a winner in this game is I don't know what Texas does, so I can't speak to them, but generally if OU wins, the players and the coaches get to walk around the fair for a little bit. Not a long time. They've got to make the drive back to Norman, but they get a little bit. They get to experience some food and go out there and have a little bit of fun. So that's some incentive on top of everything else to win this game.
I know, you know, that makes sense, but in my mind, they should let the losers do the same, because nothing could cheer you up like some, you know, fair food. We've got more Brewers trash talking has returned.
Yeah. I've got to say, I love the Brewers logo.
Oh,
though.
That's great.
It to me is the MB. We're getting completely off track here, but as I saw it, the MB in the shape of the baseball glove is my favorite baseball logo of all time. Yeah. I'd probably what's number two?
I like the Mariners old like Triton logo, the M.
That's good.
That's a good one.
I actually got a shirt with that on it.
Yeah.
Coming back or when I was in Seattle this summer.
But the Brewers is hard to beat.
The Montreal Expos one.
Yeah.
I would put that right up there. It's not fancy. It's just cool.
Yeah. I always love when I see an Expos hat for some reason. It makes me smile.
Yeah. Don't tell Spencer that. Wasn't he the one who wore the Expos hat forever?
Yeah. Yeah. They live on.
Yeah. But anyway, so we're getting way off track here, but we're going to wrap it up then. We will be back, I promise you, after OU Texas. The question is, will we do it before we go out and experience the Midway, or are we going to do it maybe after, maybe like a live taste test on the podcast? Let's try to do something fun.
Maybe that.
We're going to try to do something interesting on Saturday night down from the Texas State Fair. But thank you so much for joining us. You can check out our work every day at newsok.com and every morning in the Oklahoman for the best OU coverage anywhere.